Shigar left her and Sergeant Patanin to wake the others. With lightsaber at the ready, he eased back into the ebbs and flows of Tassa Barisha's palace and counted off the intersections one at a time. Chapter 11. Darth Kratos' voice carried faintly across the thousands of kilometers separating him from his apprentice.
Did you see any Jedi in the Republic envoy's party?
None at all, Master. Axe could hear the disappointment in her own voice. She'd been looking forward to fighting something more challenging than the inept palace guards. If they're here, they're maintaining a very low profile.
It's clear, then, that they plan to steal the artifact before us. Otherwise, they would be visible. Your orders are unchanged. You must move quickly to ensure you get there first.
It will be difficult, Master. The doors are massive, and there are bound to be alarms.
That's for you to worry about. Fail me, and you will report to the Council yourself.
The line clicked shut, and Axe smiled in the darkness. Darth Kratos was as transparent as glass. If she succeeded, he planned to take the credit. If she failed, the blame would be hers. But some of the tarnish would inevitably rub off on him if she did fail, halting his plans for advancement. It was amusing, therefore, to keep him nervous. That made him predictable. Barely 3 minutes had passed since she had set the charges. They were old, leftovers from a mining expedition that had abandoned its gear in one of the palace's three warehouses, but she had taken enough of them to knock a small chunk out of a hill. If the timers worked properly, Tassa Barisha's guards would soon have something to occupy their attention. Meanwhile, she had crawling to do. Plans of the vault sliced from the palace's mainframe showed that they were freestanding structures with their own power and air supplies. Surrounding all of the broad durasteel boxes was a meter of clear space, filled with laser tripwires. If anything got past the tripwires and simultaneously touched both box and wall, a circuit would trip, sounding an alarm loud enough to wake the Emperor himself on Dromund Kaas. The plans also showed that the vault was held in place by a series of repulsors powered by induction coils at the base of a ferrocrete cradle. Ferrocrete was relatively easy to cut through with a lightsaber. Axe wormed her way through tiny crawl spaces to a position directly under one corner of the vault, containing the remains of the Cinzia. Wiring schematics showed no cables at that point. All she would have to do was wait for the distraction, cut her way upward, disable the tripwires, and leap across the gap. Within the hour, she hoped to be touching the outside of the vault with her bare fingertips. From there, she would play it by ear. She slithered like a rat through spaces that were barely large enough for her to breathe, angling awkwardly around sharp corners and edging with her toes and fingertips. She held her lightsaber ahead of her, ready to cut through any serious obstacles. The air was thick with dust and smoke. She blinked frequently to clear her eyes. A subsonic boom came through masonry surrounding her, followed quickly by another. She held her breath as the palace shook and pressed outward with the force, just in case something heavy shifted into her. A series of smaller booms reverberated when the charges triggered a chain reaction in the palace's primary reactor, as she hoped they might. She imagined the huts and their slaves scurrying to find out what had happened. Whether they did or not didn't matter to her. Neither did she care if the secondary reactor restored power immediately. The vault was self-contained. Keeping her hosts distracted was her primary objective.